I want to take us to Luke chapter 10 here real quick. In Luke chapter 10, you find Jesus, he's sending out the 70. We'll look at another passage where he sends out 12, but here in Luke chapter 10 specifically, he's sending out the 70. I want you to just pay attention to what's going on here. It says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. We're going to come back to that, aren't we? Yeah. Yeah. So then he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves, carrying either money bag, knapsack, or sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say, peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you. And remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give you, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house, wherever, whatever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you, and heal the sick, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come nearer to you. Oh. Jesus is sending his disciples out on an intentional mission. He's given them a lot of instructions. Yep. Specific things, do this, don't do this, take this with you, don't take that with you.
Right.
Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, proclaim the kingdom. Very specific mission. But as we were talking about that in preparation for the day, there's a couple things that really jumped out at us. Going back to that first verse where it said that, first of all, Jesus sent them where he was about to go. Come on now, talk to me.
I just love that particular phrase because, you know, yes, historically, in that moment, Jesus was going to come to those villages. So he was sending his disciples out so that when he got there, they would be ready to receive him. The message was, the kingdom of God is coming. And the thing was, the immediate expression of the kingdom of God was the presence of Jesus in the village, right? So that was going to be the immediate expression of the kingdom of God. But here we are in this generation, and Jesus is sending us out as well. And he's saying, go out into Tulsa and prepare them, proclaiming the kingdom of God is coming, because the imminent or the inevitable expression of the kingdom is that Jesus will appear again. He is coming again. And so there is a coming of Jesus. There is a coming of the kingdom that Jesus calls us to share this gospel, this message, to prepare the world for his approach to them.
Yeah. Come on, somebody say with me, thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom come. Yeah. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Lord, let us go out and do what you've called us to do, to prepare the way, to ready men's hearts to receive the King.
Amen.
And then we saw the motivation behind what Jesus was doing here. As he's sending the disciples out, the motivation was really mercy and compassion.
It was compassion, exactly.
In fact, there's a similar passage in Matthew chapter 9, 36 through 38, where it says, but when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.
Yeah.
So here's Jesus. I mean, he's looking at these people that are hurting, broken, they're in need, and just love and mercy and compassion toward them. And he's like, I can't just sit on this. We got to do something about it.
And the beautiful thing about Jesus is that Jesus's number one goal was to reveal the character and the heart of the Father, right? So that's what he was here to do. And so when Jesus is moved by compassion for the hurting and the afflicted, he's showing this is the heart of God. Remember, he is the image of the invisible God. No one has seen God except when Jesus came on the earth. And when Jesus began to reveal the character and the motive and the intentions of God, he said, this is the root of it all. I'm merciful. You know, God is merciful. God is moved by love in all that he's doing right now, right? And so,
anybody here just a little bit grateful that God was moved by mercy?
Thank you, Jesus.
And compassion.
Come on.
Toward you. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And so Jesus becomes intentionally missional. Yep. He doesn't just see something. He doesn't just say something,
but
he does something.
He does something.
He sends somebody. He sends his disciples. Yep. And really, in doing that, he's sending us to really proclaim the kingdom of God. And that chapter 9, the end of that really flows into chapter 10 in a parallel passage of scripture that I want you to catch. I really want you to get this because it's really what we've been called to do. In Matthew 10, verses 5 and 8, these 12, now earlier it was sending out 70, but this is a companion scripture where he's sending out 12, motivated by this compassion. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep," there's that lost sheep, "of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons." And then he says this, "Freely you have received, freely give." Now, usually we throw that scripture out when it's offering time, right?
Right. I didn't today.
No, you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Yeah. But Jesus isn't about to receive an offering here.
No.
When he's talking about freely you've received, freely give, this isn't in the context of money. I'm not saying we can't make an application there.
Right.
By no means. I don't think it's wrong to do that.
There's other scriptures.
But in its immediate application, what is it Jesus is talking about?
Healing the sick.
Anybody here been healed? Yeah.
Cleanse the sin
out of our life. Cleansed by that. Yeah.
Raising the dead.
Maybe raised out of the deadness of our sin. Yeah, some of us can relate to that.
Cast out demons.
Yeah, some of you need some more of that.
Just raise your hand and say, "Lord, me," okay?
Did I just say that? Yeah, you did. No, but here's the point. Jesus says, look at what I've done to you. Look at what the kingdom brings to you.
Yeah.
Look what the gospel has, how it's impacted your life. And he says, you can't just sit on that.
Yeah.
He said, you've been given this freely. I didn't charge you for it. Amen. I gave it to you out of that compassion,
out of that compassion.
Of the Father's heart. Yeah. I blessed you with that. He says, you so freely receive this, you better give.
You got to give it.
I think there's going to be some answering to this scripture.
Amen.
What we've received, have we turned around and given? Freely you receive, freely give. It reminds me of another scripture that we often use at offering time. But again, in context, it really isn't talking about offering. And that's that "give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over." We all know that scripture. We've all been told, give in the offering today. It's going to come back to you. Good measure. Hey, again, I'm not saying that it's not going to work. I'm just saying in its original context, Jesus isn't talking about money. He's not about to receive an offering.
No.
But what is the context of that? It really starts with kind of the golden rule, backing back up a few verses to verse 31. I've been reading a lot of scripture.
I'll read it. Yeah, I can do this one. And it says, "And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount."
That's heavy.
Isn't that?
That's pretty heavy. I mean, Jesus is holding us to a much higher standard. Yeah. He's saying, look, you can't just do it because it gets done back to you. You got to raise your standard. You got to love people that aren't going to love you. You got to give to people who are never going to give anything back. You got to do good to people who've not done good to you.
And the thing, as we were talking about it in the first service, I forgot to mention this, and it came to my mind when I was reading this again. It's the idea that Jesus is exchanging the temporal for the eternal.
Oh, yeah.
He's saying, okay, the sinners live for today. We're living for eternity.
Yeah.
He says, if you're going to be really great, he says, you need to be great in God's eyes, not great in man's eyes. And so, if you do give money, you want it back now so you can benefit from it now. And Jesus is saying, no, you're not doing anything for your benefit today. You're doing it for your benefit when you stand before me in heaven. Mm. Isn't that powerful?
That is good.
And so it goes on to say, but love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be you will be sons of the Most High. I was about to say the Matthew version, you will be called sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil.
That's intense. This is talking about God, and you're talking about how Jesus is here revealing the heart
revealing the heart of the Father.
And here he's saying about the heart of the Father, not just the heart of compassion to those who are broken and hurting, mm-hmm. but he goes further than that. He is kind even to the ungrateful and the evil, the unthankful and the evil, the New King James says. Yep. I mean, this is like God showing us the example of what he's asking us to do.
The ultimate example, Jesus on the cross. What does he say? Forgive them, for they know not what they do. He doesn't say, send your fire upon them. Right. The kindness of the cross was literally to the ungrateful and the evil, the same people that were putting him up on that cross. And he is saying and revealing the heart of the Father, forgive them, be kind to them, for they don't know what they're doing.
It reminds me of another scripture that says it's the goodness of God
that leads men to repentance.
It's the goodness. It's not the wrath of God that scares people into heaven. It's the goodness of God that loves people into heaven. And that's what Jesus is wanting us to do. That's the mission he's sending us on, to go demonstrate this goodness, this loving God, this Father has changed our lives.
Yeah. So I just love when he said, love people into the kingdom of God. That's so beautiful. 36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Judge not and you will not be judged. Condemn not and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give. And it will be given unto you.
So this is the context.
Yep.
Of giving, it shall be given unto you. And if you go back and you look at the list of what Jesus has been describing, he's saying basically give love, give mercy.
Yep.
He says don't give judgment, don't give condemnation, give forgiveness, give, and it shall be given unto you. Look, pop quiz here real quick. Anybody here would like to receive a little bit of love? Okay. So give some love, all right? Anybody here would like to receive a little bit of mercy? Maybe you don't always get it right. You need some mercy in your life. I'll tell you how you get that mercy is you start sowing it. You start giving it. How many of you don't like to be condemned or judged? Don't judge me. Don't condemn me. Here's how that happens. Then you don't judge, don't condemn others. That's what Jesus is saying here. Because the way you give it out, it's the way it's coming back. The way you sow it is what you're going to be reaping. How many of us need a little forgiveness every once in a while? Yeah.
Father.
And so we got to be willing to forgive others. And it's this context of that we really begin to understand the whole heart and the whole mission of Jesus, the Luke 4:18. You brought it up. 4:18. I know they're tired of hearing me say Luke 4:18.
I'll go ahead and say it. Because I brought it up, so they don't get mad at you.
Yeah.
You know, he does bring it up a lot. Anyways, Jesus says, it says that he sits in the synagogue and he finds the place in Isaiah scroll and he says, he opens it up and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted. Right? He says, to set the oppressed free. He says, this is who I've come for. He says, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He says, this is who I've come for. Here's this beautiful sending of the Son of God. And guess what the audience is? The audience is not the rich or the wealthy or the grateful or the... He says, I'm going to the ungrateful and the evil. I'm going to the poor. I'm going, in Isaiah 61, it goes on to say, I'm going to streets that men don't desire to dwell in. Wow. This is, I'm going to where there's ashes. I'm going to where the system is broken down. These are the places where the kingdom of God is going to come to. These are the people, the mournful, the oppressed, the captive, the poor. He's not coming to those that have got the suits and the ties and they're ready for him. No. He's coming for those that weren't even expecting him to show up for them.
Amen.
Just so that he can show the love and the kindness of the Father. Isn't that beautiful?
And then he sends us to the place.
And then he sends us
where he is about to go.
Yeah.
We get a chance to be like John the Baptist.
Yeah.
Go before Jesus and prepare the way.
Exactly.
By doing what we do. Really, you know, when you start talking about the mission of Jesus, God, the Father sent his son, Jesus, into the world to die on a cross to pay the penalty for our sins so that we can have eternal life. That's the ultimate mission. And it began at what we call Christmas, right?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Christmas isn't just about little baby Jesus in a manger. It's about a whole lot more than that.
Yeah.
It's about a Savior who's on a mission
yeah.
to save a world,
yeah.
who loves those that are even ungrateful and unthankful and those that are broken and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Mm. And he's moved with compassion. The Father moved with compassion towards
yeah.
them. And he's saying, let's go get those
Let's
folks.
Go get them.
And so we've been thinking as a staff, what does Christmas need to look like here at Spirit Life this year? I mean, are we going to un-Grinch Christmas again? Are we going to do the Polar Express Christmas? And here's where our heart is falling into this place where we need to be intentionally missional.
Yeah.
And that word missional just began to take over our conversation in staff. And later we invited a broader group of leaders to come in and to talk about these ideas with us. And so we came up with this, what we really feel is a God-given direction this Christmas, that we're going to be intentionally missional by doing, we're just going to call it a community Christmas.
Yeah.
A community Christmas, where we want to get serious, intentional, missional about touching this community, the Hope Valley community, these people that are right here around us. Some of you live right here. We want to touch this neighborhood. Some of us don't necessarily live right here, but we want to touch this neighborhood.
Amen.
Because we believe that Jesus would have us to do that. And so here's our Christmas plan. So in just a couple of weeks, on the first Sunday of December. It's the 4th, mm-hmm. we're going to be doing the Children's Christmas program. The kids are going to be here. It's going to be 1:11 a.m. service. It's going to be awesome. You'll want to be here. You all invite all your friends to come and watch the kids and see Christmas through the eyes of a child. Then after that, over the next 2 weeks, because Christmas, the 25th, falls on a Sunday this year.
Right.
And so we can't really do our big thing on the 25th. Hardly anybody will be around. A lot of people will be traveling and stuff. So on the 18th, the week before that, we want that to be kind of like our normal big Christmas program with the choir singing and the Christmas music and a lot of just things just really just lifting up Jesus. I mean, really just making the gospel and the love of Christ and making that all so real. But the week before that, now that's the week that I want to talk to you about for a minute. And I want to invite you to catch the vision, to catch the heart, to begin to buy into to what we're talking about, to the point where you're saying, I want to do that. I really do. And here's the deal. I'm asking you to, you know, say yes before I even tell you what you're saying yes to. But here's what I want you to say yes. So here's what it looks like. On that 11th, December the 11th, Sunday, December 11th.
My birthday. Put that out there.
We're all going to sing happy birthday to Kayla.
Yeah, that's good. First order of business.
Now, here's what I want us to do. I want us to do what we're calling this a gather and go service.
Gather and go, yeah.
Gather and go on the 11th. So this is what it looks like. One service, 11 a.m., so that we can all join together as one united effort to do this. We're going to have a really abbreviated service, like 20, 30 minutes. Sing a few songs, pray, kind of get some marching orders, as it will. And then instead of hearing a sermon,
right,
we're going to be the sermon. Instead of just going to church, this is going to be the church going. We're going to be the church. And here's what I want us to do. Yeah, you're already liking this idea. So here's what I want us to do. We're looking right now to identify about 40 or 50 families in this community. We're talking to Marshall Elementary. We're looking at a list that we got from All Star Ministries where they just did their outreach in this community. Identify 40 to 50 families. These are people who, like Jesus said, they might not love us. They might not, you know, ever do anything good for us. They may never bless us. That doesn't really matter. We're just going as ambassadors of Jesus to just share the love of Jesus. And to just we'll gather here, and then there'll be prepared boxes or baskets of groceries that we're going to take to people, just leave the service that morning in teams and groups of two or four and go out to that place, knock on the door, hey, we're from Spirit Life Church and we want to just give you this gift basket and say God loves you today and Merry Christmas. And oh, by the way, before we leave, anything I can pray with you about? I think we can do that. Most people are okay with that. And then say, hey, and before we leave, can I invite you to our big Christmas program next Sunday? And we get a chance to do that. Just love on people and then invite them to come. And maybe say, hey, look, maybe you don't know anybody in our church, but I know you. We've made this connection here on your doorstep. Come sit with me that Sunday morning. I'd love to have you come sit with me. Maybe if they need a ride to church, you say, we'll figure out a way to get you to church that Sunday morning. And so just really loving on some people and inviting them to come. You like that idea?
I like it.
Do you like that idea? You think we could do that? Okay, so here's what I know. The idea got even better when we began to talk. You know how ideas always get better when you talk with people that are smarter than you? You know? And so the ideas began to get better. And we started hearing people say things like, what if, because everybody can't necessarily go out and hand out groceries. Everybody's knees maybe won't handle, you know, a long walk up some steps or what have you. But what if there were some people who decided that they wanted to go out and go Christmas caroling that morning, maybe at one of the rest homes in the area? Or what if somebody said, well, we'll go as a team and we'll set up a table at Heller Park and we'll just serve some hot chocolate and just, you know, tell people Jesus loves us. We're having Christmas next Sunday. Here's an invite to come next Sunday. We're just trying to think out of the box, ways that you could. And here's what I know. Some people are like, I can't even go and do that. You know what Jesus said? One of the things he said in the scripture we read, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. Yeah. You know, some of you may not be able to actually go that morning, but you can stay here and join in earnest prayer. I'm talking about not a now I lay me down to sleep prayer.
Yeah.
I'm talking about a bombarding heaven prayer. Yeah. I'm talking about a compassion for the lost prayer. I'm talking about really praying, Lord, would you bless and keep safe those who are going out from our church this morning and may the people be home and create open doors and open hearts. And Lord, would you draw people in that as we want to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and see lives really change. Anybody can get a little bit behind that. That sounds like a good idea. So we've raised, we set a goal, two goals. We want to get, Jesus sent out 70. I'd love us to have 70 go out that day from this church. 70 missionaries going out that day on mission. But then another goal would be to have, and there's nobody signed up yet. How come y'all hadn't signed up yet? Oh, we'll have some cards for you to sign up. But then we've got a monetary goal. We want to raise $10,000. $10,000 to reach out and to bless people this Christmas. That's a big number to me. I don't know if that's a big number to you. That's kind of a stretchy number for me, but I just believe in the generosity of these people that you can do it. Now, I know that we've already bought 50 turkeys.
Right.
It's not going to take $10,000 to buy the mashed potatoes and stuffing and green beans to go along with that.
Right.
But here's, we want to do some other things. So just dream with me for a minute. What if we bought out the laundromat for a day right down the street and we just paid for everybody that came in to get their laundry done that day and we just say, bless you, Merry Christmas, Spirit Life Church. You like that idea? How about this one? What if we walk in to the grocery store down the street with some $25 gift coupons in our hand, and we say, Spirit Life Church wants to make your Christmas a little bit better this year. Bless you. Here's a $25 coupon. And by the way, you're invited to come to our Christmas program next Sunday. You like that idea? How about if we found out from some, maybe an apartment complex manager who says, we got some people that, they've been really faithful, they've been really good, but they've fallen on some hard times. Whatever the reason is.
Right.
And we say, we're going to just pay off their rent for a month.
Wow. See,
it's freely you've received, freely give. It's stepping up above the sinner's level of doing good to those who do good to us.
The temporary.
It's saying we're just going to go bless some people in this community.
Yeah.
We're just going to love on it. And then we're going to let the Holy Spirit do what Holy Spirit does. We're just going to let him do what he... We're going to go. We're going to prepare the way. We're going into the place where we believe that Jesus is coming, and he's going to minister to some lives. Talking about people coming, I want to ask Brad and Brenda, if you'll come and join me up here real quick. This is a couple. Y'all love them. Come on, get Brad and Brenda as they're coming up. This is a couple that's been a part of our church for a long, long time. And man, they caught the vision as we began to share it. And they were making a connection. Because, see, this isn't entirely new for Spirit Life Church to be a blessing to other people, right? This isn't an entirely new concept by any means. We've done some things in the past like Christmas boxes and some other stuff. And as we were just talking about it, they're like, yeah. So give them the yeah right now.
Yeah. I am so excited. Like I was saying earlier, I grew up in this church, been here since I was nine, you know, just 20 or so years. I lived in the neighborhood. This is home, and I want to see good things happen, and I love this neighborhood, and I love this area, and I love what our church is doing. So I'm so excited about this opportunity for us to be Jesus, us to show them Jesus physically, mentally, spiritually, giving and loving, and that's what Christmas is all about. That's Jesus. So I'm excited about this project, and we're happy to be here and help out.
So as Brenda said, Tommy asked several folks to get together to just brainstorm some ideas about Christmas. And when this one came up, it was like, wow, we've done this before. You guys remember Christmas, the baskets? Some of you were really involved in that. I see Pastor Norman out here. He probably touched more boxes full of groceries than any other single person in this church. We did this for a number of years, and when our family was young, we participated in that. We came, we got the box. Back then, we did it on a Saturday, generally, and we took our little girls with us, and we got to experience something that's, I think, pretty unusual. It's not very normal in our culture. And maybe I'm talking more to the guys right now, but there aren't that many times in my life that I've been actually confused as an angel, that somebody thought I was an angel. Didn't happen very often. But literally, you take these baskets out, and you don't know what's on the other side of the door. You don't know what's preceded your arrival, what they're going through. And literally, you have the opportunity to just, for that moment, to bring them something that they're desperately needing in their lives. It's just a fantastic opportunity. Now, you know, we talk about Spirit Life Church as a place to begin, a place to become, and a place to belong. On this Sunday, we're going to change that to we're the church where you can be. As Tommy said, we get to be the church that day. We get to be the sermon that day to a lot of hurting people that just want to experience something at Christmas that they've not experienced before. John Wesley had a statement. I probably won't get it exactly correct because it was pretty cool, but I've got this on my desk at work. It says, "Do all the good you can in all the ways you can, by all the means that you can, in all the places that you can, to all the people that you can, forever so long as you can." Spirit Life, can we?
Yeah, we can.
We have the ability to check every one of those boxes. On this Sunday, it's going to be such a cool opportunity to go be the church in this community and invite them to come back and celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus that coming Sunday. Sign up for whatever gift you can, whatever part and role you can play. If you're the prayer warrior praying here for the folks that are going out, that's crucial. If you can go out, I encourage you, please sign up. We need 70. If you can give toward it, give toward it. This is such an important thing for this community. And Pastor Caleb, just so proud of you guys for bringing this to us.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. So I want to pray. We're going to close this service. But I don't want to miss an opportunity that there could be somebody here today that you're one of those lost sheep. today, you're one of those who's scattered. Today, you're one of those who is struggling to get direction and purpose and meaning in life. And today, you need to surrender your life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to create that opportunity. If you know that what you need to do more than anything else is to surrender your life and let Jesus be Lord, would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you and believe for God to just transform your life. Maybe there's some that are watching online this morning. You know, God's Spirit speaking to you. He's drawing to you. Anyone in this building, I don't want to miss. If there's somebody who raised their hand, I don't want to miss that. We want to love on you, pray for you, encourage you. Would you just join with me in this prayer, Lord? Father, man, what an opportunity. God, you set the example of a compassionate Father full of mercy and grace and love and goodness, Lord, to those of us who were unthankful and even evil. Thank you, Lord, for everyone in this place who has found that home in Christ, who have made you Lord and Savior. Thank you, God, for those of us who are secure in our salvation. We rejoice in that. Lord, the one who still needs to come home, Lord, may today be the day that they pray that simple prayer. I believe Jesus died on a cross and paid the penalty for my sin, and I acknowledge that I'm a sinner and I'm a loss and I need Jesus. So I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, come into my life, forgive me of all my sins. Help me to turn away from that and to turn toward you and to truly be a Jesus follower for the rest of my life. God, I thank you for doing that. Lord, I'm asking you to help us with this big goal that we have of making Christmas at Spirit Life Church this year a community Christmas. Lord, really, really going above and beyond, maybe doing some things that are a little outside the box of what we would normally do. But God, moved with compassion, not moved with photo op opportunities. But genuinely moved with the compassion of Christ. Moved with an understanding that freely we have received, freely we give. Motivated by the love of Jesus, your mercy, what you've done in us, help us to really reach this community with the love of our Heavenly Father. I ask you to do it. I pray, Lord, that you would stir in our hearts, Lord, each one, how it is that we're supposed to get involved, what tasks that we're supposed to play, whether we're supposed to go or stay here and pray, or whatever it is, Lord, God, that we are determined. We are going to be a part of this. We're going to engage in this. We're not just saying, great idea. Hope somebody else does it. I'm staying home that Sunday. But no, this is a great idea. And God's done so much for me. There's no way I could stay home and miss out on being a blessing to others. So, Lord, I just thank you, Father. You're going to help us to really make an impact and to be a church, not just a church in this community, but a church for the community. And Lord, for all that you do, we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome, awesome day. We'll tell you more next week about the next steps that you can take to get involved.